Let's turn to Rabbi Paul's letter to the Kehillah, the congregation in Rome, Romans chapter 12. Main subjects: offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Renew your mind so you will be able to live the right way. Understand your gifts so you can serve in the best way. And then there are other assorted instructions for God-honoring living. The letter to the Romans was written by one of the greatest men who ever lived. Paul was an apostle, which means a representative of the Son of God. He was a prophet. He was a great, great rabbi, scholar, teacher. Over the centuries, a lot of books have been written about theology, which is the study of God and what God wants and what God does and how God works. This may be the greatest theological work ever written. So far, Paul has spent 11 chapters on theology. Now the rabbi helps Christians and Messianic Jews understand how we are to live in light of these great theological truths. The first thing Paul mentions, we are to dedicate ourselves to this great God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. When someone has the right to kill you, but instead spares you and then blesses you beyond measure, the proper response is to pay that person back in a really significant way. God has been so merciful to each one of us. Because of our sin and rebellion, each one of us deserves to be destroyed. However, the Lord spared us. The Lord then made us into his glorious sons and daughters, eternal companions of the King of Kings. The proper response to such grace and mercy is to offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. According to the Torah, bulls, goats, sheep, and pigeons were offered as sacrifices to God. They were not living sacrifices, however. The living animals were killed. Their blood was used for atonement. Their bodies were either completely burned or partially eaten, and then the rest of their bodies burned. The animal that was offered to God as a sacrifice was completely used in the worship of God. You ask someone today, how do you worship God? I think most people would answer something like this. Oh, by going to church, singing songs of praise to the Lord, listening to the message, eating the bread and drinking the wine of communion. Praying, giving money to the church. That's how I worship God. Rabbi Paul would say, you know, those things are good, but those are expressions of worship. There is a higher form of worship, a true worship that is giving yourself to God fully, completely, devotedly, like a living sacrifice. From that truer, higher form of worship, Those other expressions of worship will flow naturally from you. And you will be able to serve God the way he wants to be served. And you will live the way he wants you to live, a life that is characterized by holiness. It's not easy to be a living sacrifice. It's not easy, but it is possible. And the rabbi lets us know how we can do that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Have you ever noticed that when you spend a lot of time with someone, he starts to rub off on you? You begin to think like him and maybe even talk a little bit like him. This happens frequently to married couples who have been with each other for quite a bit of time. When you are surrounded by people who share the same values, you are inevitably influenced by them and begin to share their values. The world is in rebellion against God. And the way people think does not reflect the way God thinks. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Since we are surrounded by a world whose thoughts contradict God's, we need to make a conscious decision to reject the world's way of thinking and replace it with God's way of thinking. We need to reprogram our minds so that we will not be conformed to this fallen world. How do we do that? We begin each day by redirecting our minds to talk to God. We get up in the morning, we ask God to fill us with his spirit so that we will be close to him that day and have the ability to think the right way and live the right way that day. One of the greatest assets that helps us renew our minds is the Word of God. Ideally, every day, and ideally at the beginning of the day, we read from the Word of God, even if it's a little bit. That helps us refocus our thoughts on God and what is important to God. Then during the day, we have a running conversation with God. We talk to him about the things that interest us and concern us. We praise him for who he is and what he has done, is doing, and will do. We thank him for all the many things he does for us. We ask him to meet our needs and the needs of others. During the day, we think about the Word of God and try to apply its teachings to every situation we face that day, every decision we need to make that day. If we do this, we will be able to live in a way that God wants us to live. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. To approve the will of God means to understand what God wants from us and agree with what God wants from us, with the intention of putting it into practice. What does God want from us? He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be like Messiah. What God wants from us is good and perfect and pleases his good and perfect nature. And who doesn't want to be righteous and holy and be like Messiah and please God's good and perfect nature? Offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Renew your mind so that you will be able to live the right way. Understand your gifts so you can serve the best way. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, and Paul was given an extraordinary amount of grace, so we should listen very carefully to what the Lord's representative has to say. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. People, especially without faith, tend to think of themselves more highly than they should. Sometimes they think of themselves more lowly than they should. If they think of themselves too highly, they will get into positions for which they are not equipped and may harm themselves and others. If they think too lowly of themselves, they may not rise to the challenge and thereby deny themselves and others the things they are capable of achieving. The Lord gives every Christian, every Messianic Jew, a measure of faith, the ability to know spiritual truth. Some know more, some know less. With the faith they are given and with the abilities they are given, they are able to serve God in various ways. We need to understand what we are capable of doing and find our place to best serve Messiah's community. Messiah's community is like a body that has many parts and has many functions. So there are many areas in which we can serve. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Messiah, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. These are some of the spiritual gifts. Prophesying. If the Lord speaks clearly in a supernatural way to someone, regarding what he is thinking and what he wants from the community and what may happen in the future. And this helps all of us. Is it possible for people to prophesy today, to hear from God in a clear supernatural way and then communicate it to us? My answer is yes. I have known a few instances of this where it's actually happened. Prophecy is possible today, but I would tell you that it is much rarer than those in the average charismatic Pentecostal church would have you believe. It's possible, but we need to be very discerning when it comes to prophecy. Serving. There are those who have a special ability to help, to serve. While there are those who are specially gifted to serve, all of us need to serve in some way within Messiah's community. In most churches, most Messianic congregations, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Baruch Hashem, praise the Lord, here at Shema, I believe that there is a much higher percentage of people who do the work. It's, I think, closer to being reversed. 80% are doing the work. Maybe 20% are not doing much. If you are not serving in some way here at Shema, I want you to talk to me. And together we will figure out something that you can do to serve. But there are people who are specially gifted to serve. Teaching. There are people who are gifted by God to understand the Word of God and communicate its truths in a very clear and understandable way to others. The gift of teaching. Encouraging. These are people who have the ability to lift the spirits of others, to give others hope so that they can meet their challenges, so they can persevere. The gift of encouraging. Giving. The Lord will equip certain people to be specially generous and to have the desire to give. Years ago, I remember reading about a man who had this gift. As I recall, he remained single throughout his life. He didn't marry. He worked, and then he lived very austerely. He spent as little as he possibly could on himself. He saved every penny he could, and then he gave the money he was able to save to ministries that brought the gospel, the good news, to others. Over his life, he was able to give, I think it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this is when hundreds of thousands of dollars was worth a lot more than hundreds of thousands of dollars today. He gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to ministries and to missions. This man had the gift of giving. Leading. This is the ability to guide the life of Messiah's community. To lead others, to give direction, to give vision, to take initiative. Showing mercy. God will gift some with an extra ability to be merciful. They are able to be very kind, exceptionally kind, to those who do not deserve their kindness. Offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Renew your mind so that you will be able to live the right way. Understand your gifts so you can serve the best way. Other instructions for God-honoring living. Love must be sincere. Have you ever been betrayed by someone whose love was insincere? It can be devastating. Our love must be sincere, genuine, based on the truth, motivated by doing what is best for the ones we claim to love, not motivated by the desire to gain something for ourselves. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. There is good and there is evil. And as we get closer to God and as we grow spiritually, a more intense dislike of evil should grow and a more intense love for those things that are good should grow. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. When you make something a priority, when you give it your time and your attention, you are devoted to it. We are to be devoted to one another, to our brothers and sisters. And our devotion is to be expressed by loving them, caring for them. To be devoted to one another in love, you need to know your brothers and sisters. You can't be devoted to them if you barely know them. To be devoted to one another in love, you have to be committed to your community, your faith community. You have to come regularly. You need to get involved. You need to make an effort to get to know your brothers and sisters, to try to love them and help them. It is hard to be devoted to one another in love if your life is so busy outside of Messiah's community that you have little or no time for your brothers and sisters in Messiah's community. Honor one another above yourselves. People tend to honor themselves, pointing out their accomplishments, their wealth, their higher status. They do this so that they can feel good about themselves. But God has freed us from the need to honor ourselves because he has already honored us by making us his exalted sons and daughters, his friends and companions. We are exceedingly precious to him. And now we understand that whatever gifts, talents, abilities, and opportunities we have been given to us by God. So when anyone uses those gifts, talents, abilities, and opportunities, God is being honored. Knowing this, we can feel good about ourselves without having to honor ourselves or dishonor others. We can honor others for their accomplishments without feeling threatened or diminished. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. The rabbi wants us to be passionate about the Lord and the things connected to the Lord. And we are to be serving the Lord with enthusiasm, with passion, with zeal. What does this look like? It looks like renewing your mind every day. It looks like talking to God throughout the day. It looks like reading the Bible regularly. It looks like being involved in Messiah's community and doing something to serve and build up the community. It's being concerned about proclaiming the message of salvation to a lost and dying world. If you have lost your zeal, if you're lacking passion, enthusiasm about the Lord and the things of God and serving the Lord, please talk to me. I am confident that together we can find a way to change things. Be joyful in hope. Hope is faith that pertains to the future. Hope nourishes us. Hope sustains us. Hope creates joy in the present, a joy that is not dependent on present circumstances. To have hope, we need to be sure about our resurrection, about eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth, about our great future inheritance. To be joyful in hope, frequently remind yourself of these great promises from the Word of God. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. In a fallen world that is satanically controlled and in rebellion against God and under a curse, there will be affliction, trials, hardships, difficulties, unexpected reversals, persecution. We are not exempt from this. Affliction is to be expected. And we are also blessed because we know that the Lord uses affliction to purify us and to toughen us and strengthen us. Affliction is to be patiently endured, which we are able to do since we know these truths about affliction and since the Lord has promised us that his grace will be sufficient for us even in our affliction. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Prayer does not come easily to most people. But the Lord wants us to become faithful in prayer, consistent in prayer, reliable in prayer. We do that by disciplining ourselves to talk to God as soon as we wake up. Good morning, Father. Thank you, I'm alive today. Help me to be close to you today. Fill me with your spirit today. Help me to walk with you today. Help me to do your will today. Help me to resist temptation today. Help me to be like Yeshua today. Then we discipline ourselves to have a running conversation with God throughout the day. We talk to God about the things that interest us or concern us. We praise him for who he is, what he has done, is doing, and will do. We thank him for the many things he does for us. We ask him to meet our needs and the needs of others. Faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. People are naturally selfish. We are to share our resources with our brothers and sisters when they have a genuine need. Practice hospitality. We are to make others feel welcome around us. We try to be warm and friendly. We invite people into our home. We invite people to join us for a meal in our home or maybe at a restaurant. When we meet on Shabbat, we get here early. We welcome other people. You don't have to be a greeter to do this. We introduce ourselves to others, especially to those who are new to the community. We express interest in them. After the service, we stay late and we do the same thing. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We can expect to be persecuted by a world that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-righteousness. And our society is increasingly anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-righteousness. It's natural to respond to those who persecute us with hatred, with resentment, but we are not to respond that way. We are not to ask God to harm our persecutors, to make them suffer. We are asked to ask God to bless them, to do good things for them, especially by helping them come to know the truth so that they can be saved. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Fallen human beings are selfish. The Lord wants to free us from our self-centeredness and become more sensitive to the emotional condition of others. When they are happy, successful, feeling prosperous, feeling good, we don't resent them. We are happy for them and with them. When they are sad, we don't avoid them and their pain. We sympathize with them and we comfort them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. It's difficult for people to get along with people. People do and say things that irritate us, that annoy us, that offend us. The Lord wants his sons and daughters to live in harmony with one another. We are to make an effort to be easy to get along with. We are to make an effort to get along with others. We are to overlook the small, irritating things that people do and say. If something bigger happens that we can't ignore, we strive for forgiveness and reconciliation so that harmony is maintained. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Most people are proud and conceited. They think too highly of themselves and too little of others. And they only associate with those who are in a similar position to them. Don't be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. We are to be different from the world because we know that every human being is exceedingly valuable. not because of their accomplishments or how much money they have, but because they are made in the image of God. The Lord makes everyone and gives to each their gifts, their talents, their opportunities, including us. Therefore, we are not to think that we are better than those whom the Lord has given fewer gifts, fewer talents, fewer opportunities. The world has a pecking order based on wealth, beauty, intelligence, accomplishments. And people want to associate with those at the same level that they are in the pecking order or higher up on the pecking order. They don't like to associate with those who are lower on the pecking order. Don't think that you are better than those who are in a lower position. You're not better. Associate with everyone, including those who are in a lower position. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. It's natural for fallen human beings, when they are hurt, to want to hurt the one who hurts them. When they are hit, to hit back. When they are insulted, to return the insult. We are not to respond to evil directed against us like people do in this fallen world. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Christians and Messianic Jews represent the Lord. We represent the truth. We are being watched by the world. We need to be very careful to do what is right. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In this fallen world, it's quite hard to maintain good relationships with others. We are to try to have good relationships with everyone, to live at peace with everyone. Be someone who is gracious, forgiving, patient, who overlooks slights, who overcomes evil with good, who blesses when he is harmed, who seeks reconciliation, who takes the initiative to make peace. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. When someone harms us, we are not to harm them in return. We are to trust God to deal with the one who has harmed us in his time and in his way. As he does so often, the rabbi reinforces this teaching with a quote from the Bible, in this case, Deuteronomy. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. Instead of hurting the one who has hurt us, God wants us to do the opposite. The rabbi again quotes from the word of God, this time from Proverbs, to reinforce his point. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. We are to go out of our way to do something nice to the person who has hurt us. Why? That will confuse him. That will get him thinking. That may help him examine his actions and turn to God. Doing something nice for an enemy may turn him into a friend. Isn't this what Messiah did for us when he died on the cross? God's way for us to overcome evil is by doing good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We overcome evil not by doing evil and then by becoming the thing we hate, but by responding to evil by doing good, by acts of love, mercy, and kindness.